Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, I am Sandeep, and what I am about to tell you will change how you see every day, AI headlines, every tech announcement, and every promise from leaders about controlling artificial intelligence. Right now, over 1,000 AI bills sit on desks in Washington. The EU AI Act just took effect. China mandates AI content labeling. Every week brings new promises of control and dominance at the same time. But here's the question that keeps me awake most of the time, or you can say keeps me curious most of the times. How many of these decision makers, who are shaping these industries, actually understand what they are trying to govern? Let me tell you what I have discovered through my conversations with leaders around the globe. We are attempting to govern technology that we barely comprehend. Technology created by brilliant minds who themselves openly acknowledge uncertainty about what they have built. There are endless examples. But the real challenge runs much deeper than, technical knowledge. This is not about that. We are going somewhere more deeper than technical knowledge to understand this. And that challenge is profoundly human. Yes. Every artificial intelligence system becomes a mirror one way or other way. It reflects back to us the awareness, the intentions, and yes, the blind spot of those who create it and the society that deploys it at the same time. When we witness bias in algorithms, we are actually witnesses bias within ourselves. This is very important. When we see AI concentrating power in fewer hands, we are seeing how we have already allowed power to concentrate. Isn't it just so intense how true it is? So the question transforms from how do we fix artificial intelligence to something much more fundamental? How do we evolve ourselves? Over the past few years, I have sat across from CEOs at global summits who speak with genuine passion about responsible AI. I know this because being a founder and CEO myself, I can tell you this from a very raw experience. They say it with passion about today now, responsible AI, and so many things. While their companies continue optimizing purely for engagement metrics and quarterly profits. I have listened to many political champions, I would say, AI for good, AI for good, AI for great things for their country and so many things. While carefully avoiding the difficult conversation about massive job displacement and social disruption. These experiences taught me something profound about awakened leadership. Awakened leadership doesn't mean having all the right answers. You can never have them. You cannot be perfectionist. You cannot have right answer all the time. Awakened leadership means cultivating the courage to ask the right question first of all. And especially when those questions make us uncomfortable. And you are asking those questions not to others first, to yourself first. The leaders creating the most meaningful impact are not those armed with the most sophisticated frameworks or the biggest budgets. No, they are not. I have seen them. I have seen them. I have met them. I have witnessed them. I have analyzed them. The biggest one are the most dirtiest one. Their vibe, their attitude, their manipulation are of complete next level. They are not themselves because the reason is they are not themselves. They are now a piece of paper sitting inside the book, depending on someone has brought that book by paying for that book, and they are using that book because they have paid for that book. It's like just like they have their own, they do not operate from their own inner feelings, their gut, their vision, their true intentions. They have to do it no matter what. Billions and trillions and dollars are invested on them. You can't say no to anything so easily. And then you have to lie, you have to manipulate at every single place you come up, like everything around is whatever is happening is so fascinating, so fabulous. And you talk about concern like someone just, you know, enjoying a party and in between the party they said something that just, yeah, okay, that's totally fine. This is going to happen. Yeah, every time it happens. I mean, this is the kind of, you can say, concern they have. This is the level of concern, I would say. So, I know this. That's why I'm telling you. And you too might be very much aware about this, of all of this. So, the most important leaders, I would say, most truthful leaders, are never... You know, they never belong to this category. They are the ones willing to pause in the middle of any rush situation, circumstances and dynamics. And they have the guts and courage to ask, what are we really trying to accomplish here? What would genuine success look like? And what would be the true cost of failure? I mean, these questions are nowhere in discussion most of the time, but where they are the main concern, where they become the voices of leaderships and boards and organizations and institutions and even governments everywhere, then that place has the potential to do something better for the humanity, better for the world. Three realizations that, you know, you can say have completely transformed how I understand governance in the age of AI. There are three most prominent ones. First is, most AI governance today operates from reactive fear of management rather than proactive wisdom cultivation. Yes. I mean, we are frantically building walls around problems instead of governing towards sustainable solutions. Second is, the leaders who deeply understand AI, I mean AI's technical capabilities, I would say, often lack awareness of its human implication. They have really no idea about it. And if they have, they are least bothered of its implications. Meanwhile, the leaders who grasp the human implication frequently lack technical depth. How I mean, surprising it is. The one who has the keys to make things happen are least, you know, concerned about human implication, and the one who is worried and concerned about them, they are not the one, you know, who can create or deal with these technical stuff. And we desperately need both perspectives integrated within individual leaders and leadership teams, systems and governments and everywhere. You cannot have one only to set the tone. No, you need both to come up with the best solution. And third here is, every policy we craft, every system we deploy, and every choice we make about artificial intelligence represents a choice about what kind of future we want to inhabit together. These are not technical decisions. No, they are not. They are moral ones. If you read those policies and you know, those governance rules and regulation of EU, of anyone else, of any nation, you will find, I mean, they are not as disciplined as they should be, or as they needs to be. You will always find them, you know, leaving a huge segment open for a lot of things that need a very sincere controlling and regulation. So this I have seen. You can read those governance regulations around AI and its ethics and implication, application, adaptation. So some nations you will find, you know, avoiding any regulation. Some nations are for dominance, they are doing whatever, make it as lenient as possible. Some are just trying to help them, you know, find some place in this madness race, I would say. I used to believe my role was helping organizations and governments become more responsible, more futuristic, more AI ready, more, you know, rooted in clarity and depth. And now I understand my purpose differently. My role involves helping leaders and systems become more human ready, more awake, more deeply connected to the values that should guide our choices about these incredible or incredibly powerful tool. And at the same time, when it comes to political and organizational governance, then bringing, or you can say restoring, purpose to power. Because what I have learned through countless conversations and observations, you cannot govern wisely from a place of ignorance. You cannot lead authentically from a place of disconnection. And you cannot build systems that serve human flourishing if you lack clarity about what human flourishing actually means. And despite these challenges, and they are significant of course, I witnessed something beautiful emerging in communities around the world. Leaders choosing depth over speed. Yes, leaders are leaders with such approaches, I mean, doing great work. Organizations prioritizing wisdom over competitive advantage. This is also happening. Communities asking, should we, before rushing to can we? I mean, and they are not the headlines. These aren't the leaders dominating headline. You will not find them anywhere in picture. because they are not creating chaos, they are not creating dispute, they are not, you know, making big bold statements, prophetic statements of redefining everything and in reality failing in every bit of it in terms of performance, execution, privacy, safety, credibility, trust, in all terms. But these are the ones, I mean, they are one doing the most essential work. And world is just like that, it works like that. Most of the time you will see problem, most of the time you will see pain, you will see chaos, you will see dispute, feud. But the other half that works, you know, so hard to make things better, they remain a backdoor things, they remain a, you know, behind the scene sort of things. They never come up to the front because they have learned that in that drama there is no solution. Drama is for theater. Theater is for performance, and performances are not the realities of individual. And they are proving that another way remains possible. That we can approach AI development and deployment from awakened intelligence rather than unconscious compulsion, from clear purpose rather than pure profit, from love rather than fear. Every single day, through countless small decisions, we collectively choose between two possible futures. Yes, this happens, and this is happening, and this is one very hard reality. And let me explain you why I'm saying this. In one future, we continue sleepwalking into an, you know, AI driven world, hoping that market forces and good intentions will somehow magically align advanced technology with human welfare. Okay, everything is going to happen in that way. Okay, this is one side of most of the world living in this side and hoping this kind of future. And in the other side, we wake up, we become conscious, you know, participant in shaping the relationship between human and artificial intelligence. We remember that technology doesn't represent destiny, no. Awakened consciousness does, our awareness does, our understanding, our curiosity to explore and realize and analyze and shape our decisions, our preparations, our evolution as a human being, how we are going to move ahead with that, what role we have to play in that, what responsibilities, now we are about to face, what realities we have to accept. Not sleepwalking, you cannot live anymore like that, no matter where you are, who you are. That those days are gone now, because this has reached to the level where even in a deep interior village of any country, any city, any nation, if they think this is not something that bothers to them, or this is not something that they have to worry about, or, you know, there is no need to think about that, you are wrong. Then it is something that has shown us, no matter who you are, where you are, it is going to impact you in endless ways. So the choice belongs to us now, each of us, and it remains personal and collective. I would say collective at the same time, it is collective also. Yes, because we are not participating in this at just individual level. This individuality is making us, you know, at the same time, simultaneously, a collective contribution, a collective consciousness, a collective thinking that we have to come up with, and the collective realization. So simultaneously, why I'm saying this? Because at the same time, it is impacting individual at their own essence level, and at the same time to the collective, to the city, to nation, to state, to culture, to tradition, to lifestyle, to future, to education, to jobs, every relation, everything that we know. is going to get changed. And that choice is happening right now. In every conversation, every decision, every moment of awareness or unconsciousness. Look, I'm not interested in predicting artificial intelligence's future. No, I have no interest in that. But I am committed to participating consciously in creating it. And not just it. My role is wide enough that I think I feel like a deep sense of responsibility towards humanity, toward nation, toward the world, toward our planet, toward nations, toward every single thing that touches us and comes from the top and deeply impact at the bottom. Political system, political governance, global governance, organizations, institutions, AI governance, AI leadership. This is my area of concern and my area of field. Because at ground level and up to a very higher level, people don't believe it as a matter of concern. They just act like they are the consequences of those decisions. But they never feel about that they are not the one, those who are making decisions are not the one going to lose anything. Most of the time. You are the ultimate testing ground. You can say battleground. You can say the result of outcome, good, bad, whatever. That is going to come through you, for you. To never act like anything that happens at that scale and that level and at those power positions is not going to touch you or is not mean for you. It's never like that. So my work is to bringing soul to system, purpose to system, purpose to power, restoring purpose to power, bringing truth to power, bringing clarity to relationships, global relationships, political relationships, diplomatic relationships, bringing awakened awareness to the choices that will shape the next chapter of human civilization and leadership. This explains why I carry movement around global leadership and governance, why the awakened leadership movement exists, why I believe awakening and governance must evolve together. Because awakened leadership is that bridge that brings chaos and love together. Loss and possibilities together. Rejection and hope together. In every aspect, in global relations, in diplomatic relations, in wars, in policy making, in every aspect that is important, it's that bridge. Without this bridge, either side you belong, you're not going to get the desired outcomes. You cannot live just with love, you cannot live just with politics. And politics without care, without compassion, without empathy, where values, it means nothing. And with only these, you cannot do politics. You cannot govern a nation, create a policy, run an organization, lead like a leader. That is not performative. So that's why I always say you need to understand how important it is and how much weight we carry to bring practicality and emotions together, sun and moon together. You cannot live like a moon all the time in emotions. You cannot live like a sun, you know, stand alone, confident and even sometimes arrogant enough that doesn't care about anything. You need something in between. That is awakened leadership. That is the only thing that brings these two together. to work together in harmony, because they are nothing by themselves, but they are everything for the world when they come together. That solve all the problems. And the future, believe me, and the future doesn't happen to us. We happen to the future. The quality of awakening we bring to that process makes all the difference. All the difference. So I leave you with one question as always. Most of the time I leave with questions. So one question. What future are you helping to create? What future are you helping to create? If you have any sense of responsibility, then you will realize the importance of this question. And I'm not asking through grand gestures or perfect plans, but maybe I'm asking through the consciousness you bring to each choice, each conversation, and each moment of leadership. However small or large, no matter however small or large your sphere of influence might be. And if there is no influence, no impact, that is also very good. Because influence is not the goal of leadership. Impact is. So, thank you for joining me on this journey of awakened leadership. And I request you to become a part of awakened leadership movement. Support it. Join it. Be with me. And let us together make this world a better place. Until next time, remember, the mirror of artificial intelligence reflects back exactly who we are. And the question becomes, who do we choose to be? That's the question that we need to answer, and we need to answer immediately before it gets too late. And I am Sandeep, and you have been listening to Sandeep Talks, a Leadership Awakening podcast. Subscribe, share, wherever you get, your podcasts, and join the conversation at our community platform on my LinkedIn, join Awakened Leadership Movement community, on my Facebook group Awakened Leadership Movement, you can join, you can WhatsApp channel, you can join Telegram channel. So there are a lot of places, and you can connect with me through social media, on any social media platform, I will be there most probably running this movement one way or another way. And together, we are awakening leadership for a world that desperately needs it.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.